The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Well, welcome everybody. This is the National Intel Lord Report, January 18th, 2022. I got it again, John. I know he's watching down there. He probably smacked me in the head if I didn't get the time and date out there. So I'm your host, Tom D., and filling in again for John. And we'll do it for as long as we keep RBN on the air, which I hope will be somewhere around forever. Okay, well, for all you folks up north, yeah, I'm going to rub it in. It's 76 degrees down here, sunny in central Texas. That was the reason I moved down here. We've had some cold nights, but I'll tell you what, when you got days like this, you can run around barefoot and t-shirt and shorts. God, I love it. I just reminds me of a kid when I grew up in Florida, and just can't get over it. All right. Sorry about last week. We had a little mess up, my fault, on the scheduling for Roger Sales. But we're going to have him 2 days in a row. We're going to have him tonight and tomorrow night. We have posted, Michael has posted up on the RBN website, three documents from Roger. I think you need to all go take a look at those, pull them down. They're PDFs. PDFs are opened with Adobe Reader, which is a free app if you don't have it. Michael is going to try to post them in other formats like Word and maybe just plain text. So it may not look as pretty as it does in the PDF file, but you know what? It's the information that counts, not the formatting and things like that. We've also put a group up on tlbtalk.com, and it's called Surf's Up with Roger Sales. It's in the, you go to the tlbtalk.com, who is our sister organization. I don't know how many people out there know, but RBN and TLB Talk are commingled. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward. TLB Talk is just coming up and bringing a social media environment, so kind of like Facebook and things like that. I'd love that we could just bury Facebook and put them out of business. So I invite all of you to go over to tlbtalk.com. If you haven't signed up, go ahead, do it. And it's free. We appreciate any kind of, I think all they're asking for is $5, but it's free. You just join your membership and verify your email and we're done. And you can do anything you want. You can post, you can read, you can discuss whatever you want. There's a live chat in the groups. There's live chat functions where if you and six or eight of your friends are in there, you can actually have live chats right on the TLB Talk forums. So it's just getting started. We've been up since July and we're just growing like mad, and we're going to make it even better as time goes on. So there's always growing pains, but we're coming up with a new update for it, and it should look even better shortly. You can pick up an app for your Android phone or your Apple phone. I call them crapples, but that's my personal opinion. I'm a Windows technician, so I'm not really thrilled with Apple products. I know they're really great for doing graphics and publishing and things like that. And I actually have one. I've had it about 20 years. I've never turned the thing on. And it's a real monster of a computer, but it's so outdated now, I don't think it would do any good to try to bother. But I like the case. It's beautiful. I don't know if the originators of the Mac OS was left-handed, but everything's backwards, at least for me. I guess if you started with a Mac, then everything's right, and Windows is backwards because everything's on the right side of the screen, your close and your reduce window buttons. But, you know, what it is what it is. All right, without further ado, we're going to have Roger on tonight and tomorrow night. And he went over some of the basics, the basics of his research and his studies and the information on how we can remove this rope from around our neck that the federal government is strangling us with. And we don't even know how it got there. Well, 40 years I've been looking for the answers to this question. How is it that they get jurisdiction on us? And in 40 some plus years, I've been doing this since 1980. So it's probably a lot longer than many of you. And I've been looking for this answer for such a long, long time. And I'm pretty confident Roger has found it. So listen carefully, take notes. And we're going to go through this. Roger's going to do a quick recap from what he did 2 weeks ago, and he's going to go forward and do more in-depth conversation about his research and what you can do to throw off these chains. Roger, come on in, buddy.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate being back with you in the audience. I've got a special affinity for our Beans audience because this is where I started this little journey about 11 years ago. So happy to be back. Sorry about the mix-up last week, but, you know, always leave them clapping. It may be that it built up a little more suspense. I know one thing's happened that we couldn't have really covered very well last week that's grown a little bit in the interim is this little law they're proposing up in Washington State. Did you see something about that, Tom?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now that you're heightened awareness, okay, that you didn't have before, did you happen to see the magic word all through that story?
Probably, right now I'm kind of brain dead, but sure you will tell me.
I will. Resident. Resident is the key word of the New World Order, is the conclusion I've come to, because I've lived outside the U.S. for about 13 and a half years now. And every country in the world, they don't care if you're a citizen, but they want you to be a resident. Okay? So we'll get into what that word means and why it's so important to them. But if you noticed in the Washington State article, it's for residents. And they're going to weaponize, deputize the public health officer in every county. So we got somebody new on our notice list. And they're going to be able to deputize people and go out to your homes and give everybody above 5 years old a mandated vaccine. And if you refuse it, they're going to put you in a quote-unquote vaccine hotel. So, but notice the legislation is only for residents. And it was quite obvious throughout the article. And that's the kind of awareness that once you get this information internalized, and I know firsthand it doesn't happen overnight, okay? And there's a lot of things that are going on here when you're first presented with this. And one of the main things you've got to do is undo the Pavlovian conditioning, because that's a lot of this. And they've conditioned you Pavlovian, really high-end style Pavlovian conditioning, so that you'll answer those two questions you've been asked all your life. Yes. Are you a citizen of the United States? Sure. Are you a resident? Yeah, I live right over there. Here, sign this. Okay. Now, what they've got you doing is admitting to their fraud. Okay. It's okay if you assign me a political status at birth, and it's fraud, but I'm okay with it. And you've also given them what they can't, they got to have, and they can't beg, borrow, or steal it. They got to trick you out of it. And that's in the Declaration of Independence. It's called the consent of the governed. So when you answer those two questions, yes, unknowingly, and sign something, because if I remember right, they always have you sign something, generally. You've admitted to the fraud. You've said, I'm okay with the fraud of you putting me in the feudal system in a condition of voluntary servitude. And, oh, yeah, well, I give you the consent to govern me, too. So all this power that they've got that we see and we're so scared of, you gave it to them. You agreed to it. And it's just as simple as you withdrawing your consent, in all honesty. Now, for the people that didn't hear 2 weeks ago, that was January 6th, I believe, wasn't it, Tom? I think that was that Wednesday. And I would encourage, if anybody missed that and they haven't heard my information before, to go into the RBN archive and find that show and listen to it. And I'm going to tell you why. And, Tom, I want to compliment you, okay, because I've been doing this a long time. I've been on the radio every day, weekdays, for 11 years now, or about 10 anyway, maybe a little less. And but to give a presentation to a new audience, you've got to cover a lot of important moving parts, because there's a number of they hadn't fooled the whole world with this. People like Tom been looking for an answer for 40 years, never been able to find it. They didn't do that without some complexity, okay? And so when you get presented with this, there's some things that you probably are almost totally unfamiliar with. For instance, if I was to pull one of you aside and say, tell me everything you know about the feudal system. And some of the answers I've got is, I know absolutely nothing about the feudal system. Well, that's the system you're in, and you know nothing about it, and you're expecting to identify it and figure out how to get out of it? Thomas Jefferson said it. Those who expect to be ignorant and free expect what never was and never will be. It was true when he said it. It's truer today.
Okay. Yep, just like Ben Franklin, when he was asked, what kind of government did you give us? Well, we've given you a republic, if you can keep it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing everybody, our democracy, we're going to destroy our democracy, this democracy, that democracy. You know, I want to reach to the TV sometimes and strangle. Even Tucker Carlson, I want to strangle him.
Well, now you're going to want to do that when you hear them say constitutional rights, too. How about, ladies, I've given you a republic if you don't give it away?
Yeah, that's another way to put it, you know.
Because that's what you've done.
You fritter it away.
Unknowingly, by answering those two questions, yes, you've given them all of this power that they've done all this with. Okay. Now, if for those of you who missed it, just a synopsis. Tom said I'd give you a synopsis. Okay. I can tell you what's happened here real simply. It only took me about 27 years of staying on top of this stuff night and day to be able to do this for you. Okay. Do you remember the Jim Crow laws?
Yes.
Okay. White drinking fountains, black drinking fountains.
My wife went to a school where they did that in Washington, D.C. when she was in little grades.
Yeah. Well, it figures to be there. What they've done is the white drinking fountains were for the old state citizens, and the black drinking fountains were for the new citizens of the United States, the new federal status, citizenship. Okay, so that was what was going on, and what they've done very cleverly over a great length of time is they've devised a system where they've tricked you into volunteering to be Jim Crow. That's about as simple as I can put it. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
You know, I think, you know, it's the way I consider it is the 14th Amendment didn't free the slaves. They made us all slaves.
Well, they set it up where we could all be made slaves.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go into that in a second, and I'm going to show you exactly by the 13th, because the 13th is as important as the 14th. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe even more so, honestly.
Well, the original 13th Amendment was to bar lawyers from being in Congress.
That's part of it. And they had to get rid of it. You know why? Because the guy that introduced the 14th Amendment was a lawyer, a railroad lawyer from Ohio. If that amendment would have still been in. He'd have never been in there, okay? Lincoln had a statement that I ran across. He said, I've got two enemies, the Confederates at the front and the bankers at the rear. Of the two, I fear the latter. Okay? So he knew. He knew. I don't think all this was done intentionally. I just think he was a useful dupe, not quite as bad as Biden, but along the same lines. Okay? So the Jim Crow analogy is very simple to understand. If this is the first time you've been exposed to this information, I would urge you to please go back to that January 6th, the last time Tom and I were together here on RBN in this time slot, and go back over it, because it was one of the better presentations, initial presentation to an audience I've given. And the reason I say that is because there's a number of things that people are just totally unfamiliar with here in their lives, you know. I mean, we heard about Kunta Kinte and roots. We got a good awakening to Shogun, and the Japanese say, y'all remember any five-part series on the feudal system that you saw? No, about the closest you got to the feudal system was Monty Python or Barney Rubble, okay? They've intentionally kept this from us because they don't want anybody being able to identify it, all right? So let's just say, Tom, that we're a couple of satanic, blood-drinking, stingy, totally selfish, satanic bastards a couple of hundred years ago. And we go, you know, Tom, I'll bet you we can figure out a way to take over the world. What do you say? Tom,
well,
goes, yeah,
wouldn't
yeah,
be a problem.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Let's do it. I want to control the world. Okay, so are they going to look forward into time they have no idea about, developments, technology, all the other things that may happen that they have no idea what's coming? And they're going to plan out a system where they've got every contingency figured out. If that happens, we'll do this. If this and that happen, we'll do that. Well, how are they going to ever do that? They can't look into the future that far. But they can look backwards and find systems that have already been there and operable where they can answer all of those questions and bring them forward and change a few names to protect the guilty, can't they? Now, which one of those two you think they're going to do?
Well, they're gonna do just what they've always done. They're going to hide it as best they can.
Okay, so that's obviously what they've done. They love the feudal system because, you know, we're talking about a system along with 1,000 years of legal precedent here. That's four times longer than our country's been around, folks. That ain't chopped chicken liver, okay? It was established, I went into it a little bit last week, it was established in the downfall of Rome because of the things that happened. People fled the cities, especially in the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire. They went out into the country. They either jumped in the Mediterranean or they went inland, one of the two, okay? So I'm guessing they went inland. And they went and found whoever the large landowners were, usually Russian generals or politicians, and they went in there looking for protection. And the owner said, I'll give you protection if you'll give me some allegiance and we'll fight them together. And they said, okay, allegiance for protection, protection for allegiance. That is the relationship between a liege man and his liege lord. That's feudal. Liege is the root word of allegiance. Allegiance for protection, protection for allegiance. That's the formula for jurisdiction. It's still there today, okay? And we know it better is if you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. Same thing, okay? So that's what's going on, all right? And they don't want you to know about it because it's so easy to get out of and they can't do a damn thing about it, just like they haven't been able to do anything since I started teaching this information 11 years ago. If you got problems with this information, don't come bitching at me. I don't want to hear it, okay? All I'm doing is presenting facts and drawing conclusions from those facts. In the 11 years I've been doing this, not one fact I've ever put out publicly in my book or on any radio show has ever been disputed, not one. So if you want to try and do that, be my guest. You're probably going to be unsuccessful. If you've got a problem with this, as some people do, your problem is, so these guys, I want to come debate you. No, I ain't debating you. Disprove the facts and we'll talk about it. If you want to debate somebody, go debate the Secretary of State and the Department of Justice and ask them why nobody's been penalized and there's been no backlash from either one of those two agencies or government. Actually, both of those are cabinet positions. Either one of those two cabinet positions offices in 11 years. If this is so wrong, why hadn't there been one piece of backlash in the 11 years I've been doing it that I've ever been informed about? Not one. I think that's a pretty damn good track record. Can you beat it?
I don't think so. I mean, I've sent a lot of letters into the government a lot of times and never got a lot of answers back.
Yeah, well, silence deems consent, you know. So let's go here first. I want to show you, especially for you Southern folks, we've had to live a whole lifetime with the crap from the Civil War. Okay? And you might have to be a Southerner to really appreciate that. Okay? But it's been a real burden. And to see things like our battle flag denigrated, okay, which was only a flag that was made. I don't know if you know the history of the Confederate battle flag or not. Tom, do you?
Not completely. I mean, I know okay. that everybody hates it and they want to burn it to the, you know, burn it, pull it down.
well, it certainly symbolizes something they hate, which is the Jeffersonian America. If you go back to those days, all the southern states were everyone above every northern state in income per capita. And they switched, the two number one states switched position quite often. But the two number one states in the country in per capita income alternated between Mississippi and South Carolina. How about that? Okay. There wasn't a one northern state that came in the top 11 or 12. Okay. So we've undergone a lot of crap for that. The Confederate battle flag was actually, the first one was sewn in Mobile, Alabama. And the reason for that is because the South's regular flag was so close to the American flag that the soldiers were getting, you know, when they fly the standard during battle, and they would get confused on the flags, and they wanted a flag that separated the Southerners, and that's where the Confederate battle flag came from. Okay. If you don't know what that flag represents, you may want to know. Do you know about St. Andrew's Cross, Tom?
No, I'm not. I don't think I've heard of that.
That's St. Andrew's Cross. St. Andrew is a Scottish, on the Scottish flag too, the Bonnie Blue, I believe they call it. And St. Andrew's, when they crucified him, St. Andrew, he said, "Turn my cross to the side, because I'm not as good as Jesus."
Yeah, the Bonnie Blue kind of rings a bell. My mother was Scottish, Scotch-Irish, and I don't know why that rings a bell, but not the other definition, okay. The other description.
Well, I'll tell you, before we go to what I was going to go to on this South thing, let's do something else here. I'm going to switch horses, because I think this is real important. It's the spiritual connection on this and us. So when you're in an upside down world and you want to start, you go to the back instead of the beginning. So let's go to the back of the Bible, because this is a spiritual battle we're in. Okay. And the people that don't get this message, I found out over the years, are almost overwhelmingly people that don't have a spiritual connection somehow. Okay. The people with a spiritual connection, even if it's a latent one, resonate to this information. And I've had a couple of people thank me so profusely, because they said, "Listen, I'm 70 years old. I never had any spirituality in my life. It's been a huge void. And I never opened the cover of a Bible till I got into your information. And now I'm going back and teaching my adult children what I didn't teach them when they were growing up." That's a hell of a compliment to me. Okay. So let's go back to Revelation. First of all, you hear this question occasionally. Who's doing this? You heard that, Tom, a time or two? Who's they? Right?
Yeah, who is they, or how, or who it is that's behind the curtain?
Okay, well, the best thing to do, I'd say, is to take Jesus' definition, huh? Can you find a better source? Because we're fighting the same people he was fighting 2,000 years ago, and they're doing the same crap, just with a bunch more technology and a lot more sophisticated methodology.
Was that the money changers you're referring to? Or
that would be the scribes and the Pharisees, okay?
Oh, okay,
and,
that part.
And so in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, and for any of you Judeo-Christians out there, I hope I'm not popping your bubble, but you better strap yourself in, okay? Five times in Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Do not be deceived." He says it five times for a reason, okay? So we go to Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, and Jesus says, those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, one of the verses says they lie. A bunch of lies being thrown around. So that's not Roger. That's Jesus. If you got a red letter Bible and you've never seen that, go check it out. If you're one of those Judeo-Christians, you need to go ask your preacher why he's never preached a sermon on those two verses right there. Okay? So let's jump forward from that just a smidge. Turn this down here so we don't get that annoying thing. Let's go to Revelation 18, Tom. Okay. I'm going to do this from memory, all right? But if you want, you can go check it out. You're welcome to. Revelation 18, pretty important verse. And it starts out, Babylon, O Babylon the Great, has fallen in an hour. In an hour. And the merchants of the earth wail, for they can no longer sell their merchandise. And then underneath it, it has a really unique verse. And it says, come out of her, my people. And then it repeats it. Come out of her. You know anywhere else in the Bible, any of you people that are real lot more familiar with the book than I am, you know any place they repeat the same thing twice? If they repeat it twice, come out of her, my people, come out of her, you think that might be important? What does it mean, come out of her? Well, there's five ways you can come out of her. Politically, which is what we're talking about. Geographically, which I've done, live in Ecuador. Financially, you can go gold and silver, Bitcoin, etc. Spiritually, you don't have to be in her spiritually, and you don't have to be in her health-wise. You can pull yourself out of her in any or all of those five ways.
Okay? I was under the impression that it meant get on your mule and get the hell out.
Well, it's a subject for interpretation, Tom, in all honesty, but that's the way I interpret it, okay? Now, you go under that a verse or two, and it has something real interesting because I'm so legally oriented. These are legal verses right there in Revelation 18. And I say they're remedy verses because they're asking somebody to do something that's a remedy. Okay? And that says, serve her double what she's served you. Fill her cup double what she's served. How the hell can you pay these bastards back double for what they've done?
Is that kind of like, you mean if they've done you bad, do them bad twice? I thought it was always turn the other cheek.
you tell me. I mean, let me ask you a question. Does God love? Obviously, yeah. Does God hate?
I don't know. I'm not sure what he thinks because of all the misery and all the violence and stuff I see around. I don't know if he's paying attention.
Well, let me tell you that in Genesis and repeated again in the New Testament, this comes out. He says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So if God publicly in his book twice says that he hates somebody, do you think it's only natural that they might hate him?
Yeah, I would have to give that a big yes. You have to excuse me. I was raised Roman Catholic, so, I'm kind of...
You're recovering.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I actually got kicked out of Catholic school for asking too many questions.
So if God publicly says he hates somebody, this Esau character, it only makes sense that maybe Esau hates him. You want to look around and see who hates God? You want to see Jerry Nadler stand up in the house and say, God isn't in this house? Little statements like that. So I think it's pretty easy if you look at this like that and you have any belief in the substance of the Bible that you can put two and two together there, but that's just a sidebar, if you will.
I don't see a big deal about having the Ten Commandments here, there, in the courthouses and all that, because you know what, whether you're religious or not, they're damn good rules to live by.
It's just, they're rules to live by, see, and they don't want to live by, and that's why I sent you, and we can do a program if you haven't done it. We should play this guy's tape because he did exceptionally good research, Peter Hammond, on Sabbatai Zevi and Sabbateanism, which is at the root of everything we're dealing with right now. So, but that's another subject for another day. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going down Revelation, and we're looking at Revelation 18, and as you get a little further down in the verse,
oop, we got to take a break, Roger. So, man, that was a half an hour gone, man. All right, hang on, everybody. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side.
All righty, we're back. Second half of the first hour, January 18th, 2022. got a lot of people tuned in, from what I understand. So we're going to have to put on a very good show. Thank you, Richard.
Very good.
You know who I'm talking about.
Very good. Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. We're trying to make it clear for you, okay? Because it's very confusing. All right. So we're talking about Revelation 18 right before the break there. And let me just back up a little, because I said those were remedy verses. You know, remedy is a legal remedy. Fill her cup double, serve her double. So somebody's supposed to do something. You know, pardon the pun here, but you execute a remedy. Okay, legally. And so that tells you, if you're going to execute a remedy, there's got to be somebody to execute it, doesn't there? Well, see, that right there proves the remnant. And that's what I think we are, the people that resonate to this message and take action. I believe we're the remnant, honestly. Okay. And I've thought about this stuff for almost 30 years. All right. So that's the conclusion I came to. You can come to your own. But go on down Revelation 18, and we go down a bit further, and there's a list of about 21 or 22 things. I've forgotten which one of those two it is. I counted them out one time. But that the merchants are wailing about because they can no longer sell. Okay. And it goes down. It says they're gold, they're silver, they're frankincense, they're ivory, they're this, they're that, they're the other. And bodies and souls of men. I don't think they can buy and sell you if they don't own you. And it doesn't say, except the United States of America. Somehow John on Patmos left that out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the devil owns a lot of souls in D.C., that's for sure.
Okay, so now go down a little bit further, and it talks about how the nations have been fooled by their sorcery. Now, there's a lot of people talking about that verse these days, because one of the, if you go into the Thesaurus or the dictionary, one of the words that's defined under sorcery is pharmakia. And it says, or earlier in Revelations, don't partake of their pharmakia. But my teacher, John W. Benson, our law teacher, rest in peace, John, none of us would know any of this if it wasn't for that man, okay? And who dedicated his life to learning the law simply because he loved it. And so John looked that up one day, and he was looking under the definitions of sorcery, and one of the definitions of sorcery is chance, like C-H-A-N-T, not chance, C-H-A-N-C-E, chance, C-H-A-N-T-S. And John said, could their chant be U-C-C, 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 because that's what they're doing to us, and that's how they're doing to us. It was called originally the Babylonian Merchant Code. For thousands of years, it was called the Law Merchant. Today, it's referred to as the Uniform Commercial Code. That's what's being used on us. So if you're one of these people, there's a lot of mis and disinformation floating around our community. I've been dealing with it for 30 years, okay? Trying to get it out of people's head. Because once, you know, there's a great Mark Twain quote. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, Tom, if I may take a little, what do they call it, liberty here with that. And he says, it's easier to fool a man than tell him he's been fooled. Pretty profound, okay? And the other one I like is, it ain't what I know that's killing me, it's what I know that ain't so. And that one's pretty appropriate too, okay? There's a lot of mis and disinformation in our community. A lot of you are under the misimpression we're talking admiralty law here. That's totally wrong, okay? The only remedy in admiralty law, as we mentioned remedy a few minutes ago, I'm going to get into that hopefully before we're finished tonight. The only remedy in admiralty law is a remedy called prize. And that means, Tom, I kick your butt and I take your stuff. There ain't no legal process involved. Okay? And a lot of
it's almost like outright theft.
Well, it's outright beat your ass and take your stuff. There's no rules, you know. It reminds me of every man that's our age remembers this. You remember Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that scene where we're going to have a fight and down there in Bolivia or someplace, and they get cornered with a guy, and he goes, okay, before we fight, let's get the rules straight. And the guy goes, rules? What rules? And he kicks him right square in the groin. Remember that?
Yeah,
no man
no
ever forgets that. Well, that's admiralty law, okay? All right. So the other is maritime law. Oh, we're under maritime law. Well, the only action in maritime law is called a bill of libel. You see any bills of libel floating around our court system anywhere?
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that. I mean, the closest thing to that I've heard is a bill of attainder, and I don't even think we have those anymore.
Well, they probably got them hiding under some other name, but let's just get those things out of the way. You're under the UCC, and I'm going to prove it to you. Have you ever heard of a group of laws, remedies called self-help remedies, Tom?
Not sure where, I don't know when, but I think so, yes. And I'm not sure if that's just something recently we...
No, well, I might have mentioned it, but this is for the audience, you know, because you and I have had some private talks up to when we've had these shows, all right? So you could say, damn, this guy really does know what he's talking about. You may not recognize the term self-help remedies, but I bet if I told you what they are, you would. You ever
Was
heard
that,
of
that involved with the Administrative Procedures Act?
Kinda.
Okay.
The self-help remedies are lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure. You ever heard of those?
Oh yeah, our buddies at the Alphabet Soup agencies.
They all use them because we're under the Uniform Commercial Code, and that's where they come from. And that's the only place. There's only two places in the history of the planet that law and those remedies and others have been used, and one of them is in the law merchant itself. So any kind of commerce for thousands of years has been governed by the law merchant. Okay, and that was what changed Rome, by the way, was these self-help remedies. I don't know if we'll get time to go into that tonight or not, but maybe at some point we will, because it's very interesting. And the only other time and place that the law merchant was used as the overall system of law was in the feudal system on the manor. So you wonder why we're under them now? Because we're in the federal manor, you're a serf, and that's the laws they're using. Okay. So if you got a question about admiralty law or maritime law or all that stuff, I beg you, please open your mind, get that out of there, because it's doing nothing but confusing you, and it's doing nothing but muddying the water for you. Okay. Let's get back and go over some facts. These are facts I'm giving you, okay? So, and we can get into a little bit of a law class maybe at some point. You heard the interview I did with Deanna, right? That's a very good interview I did with RBN's own Deanna Spingola, who unfortunately
is not on the air. Yeah, 3 hours, really 3 hours.
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah, about that. It was a good show. I felt very good about it. And that's what we've always advised people to use until I did yours week before last, and now I'm telling people to use that one. Quite honestly, okay? But after that show, and I'm still getting emails from that show a year later almost, okay? And an attorney, a patent attorney, got a hold of me, and he said, thanks for taking me back to law school. I had to get a kick out of it because I'm constantly having to re-educate lawyers. You and I had an incident with this recently, okay? And so, anyway, that was something important, this Revelation thing, to know that even in Revelation, bodies and souls of men, John on Patmos knew that they were going to enslave the whole world. They called it Mystery Babylon, okay? Not Babylon, Mystery Babylon. So I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know if this is right or not, but it's these things I've thought about for so many years. If you go into a concordance, Babylon is equated with confusion. So Babylon is confusion, but they don't call it Babylon. They call it Mystery Babylon. So the confusion is a mystery. Could it be all of these different definitions and how they've pulled this off is the confusing part, and that this is Mystery Babylon we're unraveling here today? Well, I'll let you make your own conclusion on it, okay? But it's an interesting thing to noodle with, all right? So what I'm going to do, as I was talking about, is now that we know the end game, we can go back and analyze things a little bit better, okay? So this just hit me recently, in all honesty, within the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. Let's go back and take the 13th and the 14th Amendment and look at them together, all right? But it's important for you to know a couple of things here. The 13th Amendment was passed in June, I believe, of 1868. Okay. The original legislation, by the way, was called the Civil Rights Act of 1866 or 68. I forgot which one. Okay, but anyway, they got around to voting on the 13th Amendment. They ditched the other one, That'd be an interesting subject for somebody to do a bunch of research on, is when that happened. A number of us know that it happened, but when did they kick it out? We found old law books where it's in the Constitution, in old law books. Now, they don't put amendments in a Constitution in a law book that weren't ratified. All right, I've got news for you, okay? So that was obviously there, and these little sneaky little sons of Belial were able to get that out of there so they could run this new one in. And so they ran it in June of that year, 68, I believe, and they let the Southern legislators back into Congress to vote on the 13th Amendment. Isn't that unusual? Right? I didn't find that out until relatively recently. 6 months later, when they went to pass the 14th, they wouldn't let them in. Okay. And the reason, I think, for that is what we're going to go over right here. They needed that one. That one's constitutional because the original Southern legislators were let back in to vote on it. The 14th, I think, is unconstitutional, but now, all these years later, under a legal theory called custom and usage, it's obviously legal because everybody's operated under it for 150 years. Okay, so you're not going to go in and tell them it's wasn't legally ratified. You're going to be urinating straight into a cold north wind. Okay, so. If you go to the 13th Amendment, I'm going to paraphrase. I don't have it up in front of me here. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, unless a person has been duly convicted of a crime, shall exist in the United States or the states in any of their jurisdictions. Okay? So what's the key takeaways from that? First of all, at the end, it uses the plural word there. So it's talking about the states in collection. Okay. Now, we know about things that are automatically stated on the surface, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, but what's left open and under a concept called legal by omission. So what's legal by omission in the 13th Amendment as it applies to their jurisdiction, the states collected? Voluntary servitude. It's not outlawed, then it must be legal. And then really, they couldn't make it illegal because even in the Constitution preceding the 14th Amendment, there's a clause about not impairing the ability to contract.
And right, yeah, if you want a contract here, to be a slave, you're more than welcome to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They might not can take them away from you, but you can give them away. Okay? So there in the 13th Amendment that was totally constitutional, everybody's there to vote on, voluntary servitude specifically is legal by omission, and it's talking about the states. This is how they planned back in the 1850s, when I'm sure this was written, to get all you good folks to say yes to I'm a resident and I'm a citizen of the United States, a federal citizenship. Okay? This was planned out way before the Civil War, man. And nobody could tell it because they didn't know what the end game was. There's a couple people along the way that identified certain important aspects of it. But nobody had the game plan down. We, having the game plan down now, can look back and see exactly what they did. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Civil War was started not to unenslave the black man. It was set up so they could enslave everybody. And that these two amendments, the reason that battle and that war was fought and those 600,000-plus people died is so they could get these two amendments in the Constitution so they could control the world with it 100 years later. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, they tried to hide it behind the premise that we're trying to enforce and protect states' rights to do what want. You know, it was an overreach, definitely.
So let's take that what we just went over on the 13th Amendment. Now let's go over the first clause in the 14th Amendment. Let me just read the first clause first of all. There's 8 legal landmines in this sentence. Okay. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. That's the first clause of the 14th Amendment. All right? Now let's go back and analyze it a bit. There's a twin test in there. All persons. Well, first of all, they're talking about legal persons. They're not talking about persons. If we get into this little law class here before the end of the show, I'll explain the difference to you. No, a person's not a corporation. Yes, it can be a corporation, but it's not exclusively a corporation. It can be a trust. It can be a partnership. It can be an individual. And there's some clown going around the country saying you don't want to be a person, okay? And the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I tried to explain it to him, and he told me I was full of ship high in transit and hung up on me and my audience in the middle of the program. Okay? So those kind of people that are that closed-minded and egotistical, that think they know everything when they know nothing, are the ones that are inhibiting us from getting to a solution here, by the way. All right? So all persons, it means all legal persons. All legal persons who are born or naturalized in the United States. It doesn't say the United States of America. Remember, there was already a citizenship in the country, a state citizen. That was the only citizenship. And if you were a state citizen, you were by default a national citizen. That's where they get the label for this national. Okay?
Which they call the United States citizen, right? Which they identify.
They used to call it, you know, it's interesting because before there were two citizenships, they used to abbreviate that term, okay? And even Chief Justice Story, one of, if not the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, in his commentaries on the Constitution, stated, a state citizen is ipso facto, by the mere fact, a state citizen is ipso facto a citizen of the United States. Now, if that were today, he'd want to say, a state citizen is ipso facto a citizen of the United States of America, because that's the state citizen. A citizen of the United States is a federal citizen. Okay?
So is it the United States of America? What? See, this is where I get screwed up.
Well, this is
remember.
The. Well, everybody does. These are the equivocations they fooled us on.
You know, U.S. citizen, United States citizen, citizen of the United States, citizen of the United States of America. You know, I got four different things there, and they probably all mean different things.
Well, if you're trying to approach people with this, the best way to do it, because it gets very complex to people, man, you see the eyes roll back in the back of their heads, honestly, is to go up and present the equivocation. And that's what we talked about last week, week before last. You can go back and listen to that program. We went into some depth on it, okay? But the question I like to ask people is, are you a citizen of the United States or are you a citizen of the United States of America? Well, obviously, they think they're the same thing. But they're totally different. One's a slave and one's a free man. Okay, and the citizen of the United States of America was the original state citizen, still is. Okay, a citizen of the United States is this federal citizen. So right there, remember the 14th Amendment was passed to cure the problem that people that had been born and raised in D.C. and the territories up to this passage of these amendments didn't have any citizenship. They had no political status. They weren't a citizen of the state, therefore they couldn't be a citizen of the nation, even though they lived in the nation. And I'm sure it wasn't just blacks. There were other ethnicities that lived in D.C. and the territories, whites, no telling what all ethnicities, but overridingly in all the court cases and everything you read, it's always identifying the blacks.
Yeah, but were they really citizens living in the country? The D.C., the way I keep it straight in my head is that the District of Columbia is a foreign country.
It is. It's foreign to the states. That's why we're aliens.
There are 51 separate countries in the CONUS. You know, 50 states, and D.C. is a foreign corporation, a foreign company, foreign property.
Corporation. You were familiar with the slaughterhouse cases. This is what they call the benchmark, the landmark case. It was the first Supreme Court case on these issues of the 14th Amendment. It was heard or decided in 1871, shortly after these amendments were passed, shortly after the Civil War. And so all the things in the slaughterhouse cases are very... It's like if I were to say, do you remember when Trump at January 6th and everybody stormed the Capitol? Because it was like just recent memory. And see, that's the way the slaughterhouse cases is when it's dealing with all this. And one of the parts in there, it says, it starts it by referencing the Dred Scott decision, you know. And it says the Dred Scott decision really caused a big commotion because it became a real topic of conversation in D.C. in the public journals and in publications of whether a person who was born and raised in D.C. not only was not, but incapable of becoming a citizen of the country without anything short of an amendment. That's the loophole they drove the 14th Amendment through. Okay? So, anyway, that's just kind of some of the background here. So, all persons born or naturalized, so if you're born or naturalized in the United States, the federal United States, or one of the states that you agree to, by the way, by the 13th Amendment, then that's one of the prongs. There's some legal tests here. You got to be born or naturalized in the United States. The second legal test is You got to be and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, notice, it doesn't say all persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It doesn't say that, does it? It says and subject. So you got to do something else to become subject to fulfill the second prong of the test. Okay, so how's the rest of it go? Are citizens of the United States and the state wherein you reside. So, Tom, are you a citizen of the United States? Are you a resident? Yeah.
At the moment, I guess you're subject.
I guess you're subject to the jurisdiction thereof, aren't you? And yep. By the way, since you were born into this fraudulent system and we've got a birth certificate that represents your birth into the system and collateralizing you, and now you've told us that you're a citizen of the United States and a resident, well, guess what, Tom? You qualify.
You get a prize.
Yeah, you get a prize. You're in voluntary servitude.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? Now, listen, somebody that doesn't believe this, you prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Secretary of State can't do it. Department of Justice hadn't even tried. Okay, that's what's going on. These bastards, these heinous, satanic, thieving, murdering, baby-killing bastards, sons of Satan, had this all schemed out at least in the 1850s. And boy,
yeah,
if that doesn't
ahead,
get
don't
your
they?
Ire up, if that doesn't get your dander and your ire up, then you better go see if you can still frost a mirror. Okay?
They sure plan ahead, don't they?
They plan way ahead, and they're real slick. Okay? So that's very important, and I wanted to go over those two things. Now, let's pick up and go in a different direction, and let's just say that
well,
you've...
Well, real quick, okay. Just to clear my head, because if my head's spinning, probably somebody else out there, too. What is the proper connotation? Is it United States citizen, United States citizen, United States of America? Hit those definitions real quick.
Okay. Well, you know, it's very interesting. In the slaughterhouse cases, is the first time I ever saw this terminology. And they're talking about the decision that this only pertains to blacks. And if you don't remember the slaughterhouse cases, it came out of Louisiana, and it was brought by a bunch of white French butchers. Okay, because the state of Louisiana, that the French, you know how the French are, right? I mean, they hang up open meat for a week and stuff like that, right? And so the French butchers, because it's Louisiana, and they were going in and they'd butcher their animals and they'd throw the leftover pieces in the river. And it was going downstream, and New Orleans gets their water supply out of the river. And it was clogging up and it was contaminating New Orleans drinking water. That's what really started all this. And the state of Louisiana, under the public health auspices, went in and passed a law that said you can't slaughter animals on your farm anymore. You got to take them to these designated slaughterhouses.
All right, we're going to have to hold it there for a minute to hold that thought. And
the
hour's gone
up,
already.
Please?
Yep, it's already gone, man. I can't believe it. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Got Roger Sales with us, and second hour coming up.
We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.